Hello, this is Michael Ann Conley, and welcome back to Habits into Health. You know how when you're unhappy about a behavior, and you just want it to stop, or you want to get rid of it, but it won't go away? Or you're able to stop for a while, but that just doesn't last, and so here you are again. If a problem habit, or even an addiction, has you in its grip, Habits into Health is for you, because we're all about helping you learn new skills to stop feeling out of control. Now, maybe you've already handled some big problem habits and you're still not happy with your life. You might feel frustrated about this and wonder what you're doing wrong, or wonder what's wrong with you. Those patterns of feeling and thinking are habits in themselves, so this show includes working on those kinds of habits too. And then third, what if you don't really have any problems yourself of a habitual kind, but someone else in your life behaves in ways that's really having an effect on you? You might have a different kind of habit. It's not about doing something unhealthy directly, but it may involve tolerating someone else who's doing something unhealthy. If their hurt affects you, then Habits into Health is also for you. And here's why. As a holistic therapist and addiction specialist, I started noticing that there are underlying patterns that apply to unhealthy habits of all kinds. Three main habits that most people want to change are smoking, weight gain, and drinking. But the same kind of process applies to any habit, like sexual behavior, gambling, watching too much television, anything that's done too much that gets in the way of a peaceful life. I am passionate about supporting people who feel stuck in these behavior patterns. So I created this podcast and other Habits into Health programs to help us all deal with it. I started tackling some of my own problem habits in my 20s and continued into my 30s, and I learned about more serious addiction issues, got some training, starting with alcoholism and other chemical dependencies. And I was also introduced to holistic health and some powerful methods for self-healing. And I brought all of this together to help people just like you start, stabilize, and sustain real change in your life. The last few episodes, we've been looking at the change process using the shift of the seasons as an anchor. I've described three levels around this. The first is what's going on outside you. Literally, around seasonal changes, that would be the weather or external climate at this time of year, wherever you are on the globe. But there's also other kinds of external changes that apply to the first level. Today, we'll talk about the second level. That's your relationship and way of engaging with the external environment. Weather, climate, and anything else that's not under your control. In this podcast, though, we don't just talk about ideas and topics, because what I've learned over the years is that having an experience is more powerful than having ideas. And actively participating in your experience is more powerful than just having an experience. So an essential part of all Habits into Health programs, whether it's this podcast or my workshops or teleseminars, it involves investing a few minutes in practical experience. At its simplest, you can slow down and take a break from the stress of the day. But also, it helps you focus more effectively on whatever you want to learn. We say let your body lead so your mind doesn't have to. Because most people living today, especially in the wired world, have been trained to value thinking as if it is independent from actions that make thinking happen. And it turns out action is essential for thinking specifically and for brain functioning as a whole. The practice of being attentive as an action then has its own intrinsic value. So when you participate in the Habits into Health experiential practices, you are making this real for yourself. So let's do it. And today we're going to do it by thinking. Think about an elephant. Thinking doesn't just happen. It happens somewhere. And it doesn't just happen out there. It happens in you. So notice what's going on in you as you think about an elephant. Or rather, what is going on where? Sometimes that's the easier place to start. As you think about this elephant, where do you experience yourself physically? Could be anywhere. In your chest. In your belly. Somewhere in your head. Perhaps you've been personally around an elephant and you remember this. Do you experience this memory in your hands or your legs or your feet? Let's narrow this a bit and focus on what's going on where in your head. Maybe you've only seen or heard an elephant secondhand. Recall what you've seen, perhaps in a magazine or a painting, or from a movie or on television. Visualize an elephant. Where do you experience the action of visualizing right now? Around your eyes? In your cheeks? What sensations do you experience in your head as you visualize? And if you can, where in your head do you experience these sensations? Forehead? Back of your head? To the sides? Now hear the call of an elephant, and be attentive to where you hear this. What do you experience where, as you just recall hearing the call of an elephant? And you know, maybe you're actually around an elephant right now. Where in you are you activated, energized, quieted? Where in you do you experience yourself in this moment? In the presence of this elephant. Thinking is not disembodied. It's not separated from physical action. It is bodied, which means that you are doing something somewhere in this being you call you. When you think, you are doing something that's not just neurons firing in your brain in an electrical way. There are also muscular action patterns occurring in different locations in you, in particular kinds of ways. There is what you're doing, there is where you're doing it, and there's also how you are engaged in doing it. I'll offer more specific suggestions. Think about an elephant right now. Be attentive to whether this is visual, auditory, tactile, sight, sound, or touch, or even if it involves your sense of smell and taste, the other two of the five main senses that you share with other people. Do you move your head in a particular way as you think about the elephant? Or do you still the movement of your head to think? How are you using your eyes? What are you doing in your tongue or your lips? Is there a way that you change or adjust your breathing pattern, or hold yourself in your belly? You can check in anywhere, from the tip of your head to your toes, and to notice, be attentive. Let's have you consider this as we talk more about today's topic, which is connecting to your subjective experience around external situations that aren't under your control. First, just a moment to say that you're listening to Habits into Health, and this is Michael Ann Conley. I'm the host of this show, and I have a passion for helping people just like you stop feeling out of control over unhealthy habits and addictions and start creating the life you've always wanted. I know this is possible because for almost 30 years I've supported many people in doing just that, and I started with myself. Come on over to habitsintohealth.com and explore other podcasts and articles. If you are ready to take a new approach to a problem, habit, or addiction, ask for a free self-assessment questionnaire on the website, and stay tuned for more podcasts and programs in the future. Let's step into our topic for today, which is something you can be in charge of even when external conditions are out of your control, and that's your own subjective experience. In past episodes, I've described three levels. The first is what's going on outside you. It could be something as literal as the weather, or it could involve your surroundings, including people, places, or things. The practice around this level can be as simple as being attentive to it without any need to change anything. It's sunny today. I'm with lots of people at the birthday party. I'm sitting on a couch. Just respecting what's so in your environment, which seems like a small thing, but how often do you go about your day inattentive to what's around you? Just because it's concrete and external doesn't mean it's to be taken for granted. Today we'll talk about level two. What's going on inside you in relation to that external environment? This is how you experience what's outside you, because you have your own subjective response. For instance, it's a sunny day and you're feeling warmer than is comfortable for you. Or you don't have sunscreen on and are feeling your skin reddening. Someone right next to you wishes it was warmer and she could just lie down on the grass and add to her tan. Or you don't know many people at this birthday party and you feel shy. Or maybe you feel excited and interested in meeting new people. And your companion knows everyone and complains about most of them. The couch is just right for your partner's size but too high for your short legs. And you feel stretched too much in your lower back. Those are just examples. So even though you share a common environment with other people, you experience it in your way and they in theirs. And notice that I use the word feel here. And I mean this in a physical, experiential, and interior way. In slang English, the words feel and feeling often don't refer actually to feelings, but to judgments or interpretations about the intention of others. An example would be, I feel that you're being mean, or I feel attacked. If you orient yourself around feelings as interior and subjective, then at first you might feel awkward, but after a while you'll discover a new honesty in yourself about what's actually going on in you. I feel upset because of your tone of voice is a different way of saying, I feel that you're being mean, or I feel attacked. So how often do you go about your day taking your experiences for granted as well? Being attentive doesn't mean being preoccupied or obsessing. Far from it. It does mean being awake to yourself, not just to what's happening outside you that's outside your control. Of course, we know the only constant in life is change, and a lot of life is outside your individual control. For instance, if you were in Japan on March the 11th, 2011, you had no control over the tsunami that destroyed the northeast coast. That's pretty clear. Sometimes the line between what's outside us and what's inside us is less clear. When the driver ahead of me backed up to park and hit my front fender, I couldn't have stopped her. But if I hadn't been following so closely, I might have avoided the crash. If your spouse or partner is unfaithful, you didn't cause their actions, but you may have some responsibility, either because of some way that you've participated in the relationship, or from how you've dealt with things after learning about their actions. What then? When we experience sudden situations in our external world, we may not be able to control our immediate response. And a lot of times, I find that people will judge themselves because they didn't control their immediate response. When sudden things happen, reflex action or fight or flight takes charge. In the moment, we just do our best. Then it's after the fact that it's important to grow your capacity to feel what's real. And what's real is not the story that you tell yourself. It's the experience of yourself that you let yourself feel, whether it's fear or exhilaration, sadness or contentment. Whatever, you get to choose how you engage. But choosing how you feel isn't just thinking about it. It doesn't come just from deciding. It comes from experience and practicing how you engage with yourself in the experience. And here's a side note. In many cases, unhealthy habits get in the way of doing our best because they tend to take center stage and run the show of our lives. When I'm with a client who's dealing with an addictive behavior, it's pretty clear, in many cases, that had they not been engaging in their unhealthy habit, they would have handled a situation more effectively. They would have been more awake to themselves, and as a result, they'd feel much more satisfied with how they handled themselves and the situation. And this is true whether the habitual behavior is drinking or watching too much television, smoking or trying to be helpful to everyone, whether it's gambling or putting yourself down, or anything else. Today, just for starters, I encourage you to be attentive to your subjective experience of today's events. Attentive means to set aside the story that you tell yourself about it and check in with what you're feeling, where you're feeling it, and how you're engaged in the action of feeling. You can tell yourself stories all you want, but if you want to create change, then working with what's underneath the story makes all the difference. In future episodes, I'll talk more about this and also about level 3, which is about your own pattern of response to your own subjective experience. That's where it gets really interesting. It's time for me to sign off for now, and you know, if a behavior has gotten the better of you, remember, blame and judgment get in the way of creating any kind of beneficial change. In Habits into Health, we start small and encourage kindness along the way. This is Michael Ann Conley, your host, and you have been listening to Habits into Health. I support you in turning your old habits around into healthy possibilities for your future. Thanks so much for joining me.